Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
There you go, Ken. Metallica, as I mentioned earlier, paying tribute to the great Italian composer Ennio Morricone, who has sadly passed away.
Yes.
91.
That's Arrabbiata.
91, Ken?
91.
That's 91. A hell of a run.
Yeah.
500 TV shows and movies he composed the soundtrack to.
500?
Yeah.
500.
That's amazing.
And a lot of things you've likely cried at the movies.
That's right.
Yep.
All right. coming up, we'll get to a Karen report at 7:20. And then during the news at 7:30, Florida, not like the rest of us. Ken will appreciate this. There was an incident of elderly social distance rage that led to violence in Florida. So we will get to that. But right now, prior to the weekend, on Thursday, the associate of Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yes.
She was
whatever we're calling her.
She was his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Some think that she was out or have alleged that she was out grooming younger women for him. Whatever you would call her, she was arrested in New Hampshire. And for a little legal perspective on this, we are joined by our official in-house counsel on this show, Larry the Lawyer. Hey, Larry.
Good morning.
How was the 4th?
It was fantastic. Spent it with the kids. Saw some fireworks.
What? Fireworks?
How dare you?
I hope you
arrest
called,
them.
I hope you called 311 when you saw the fireworks.
No comment. No, I am not going to incriminate myself.
So I got a bunch of questions about this. My first question is, why would you guess that she was hiding out here in America as opposed to, you know, anywhere in the world? Mm-hmm. That's what surprised me the most, that you're essentially right here under the eyes of the officials that you're trying to get away from are, you know?
What's interesting about that is, number one, as you said, that she's here. Having a European passport, if she had made her way to France or England, the chances of her being brought back to the United States to face charges, were pretty slim, I think. Extradition over there with somebody that has a European passport is not a stamp on it. It's a difficult process. The other thing that I thought was interesting is that it's been stated by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the others that were looking into her that they spent approximately $5 million searching for her. As you know, Greg, that she bought the house up in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, paid cash for it, set up an anonymous LLC, did it in a very clever way so that they wouldn't know who was there, but that didn't stop the spy planes and the 15 to 20 cars of officers and troopers that stormed the gates and found her.
So she bought that house through an LLC, and there was a Boston law firm that arranged that for her.
It was not Armie and Roach. She would not have been found. Actually, the truth is, we wouldn't have represented her.
Are they in any? Is there going to be a legal issue for them for doing something like that? Or
attorneys that are doing their business of practicing law and setting things up. As long as it's not to, you know, look, if they knew that she was a fugitive from justice and they set up an anonymous LLC for her to live in, you know, then there's potentially aiding and abetting, accessory after the fact. Certainly. Those kinds of liabilities. Although with an attorney, there's a lot of immunity when you're doing stuff in the court system. You're doing it for the right reasons. She wasn't charged with anything yet. So while, you know, for the last 12 months, people could assume that she was a criminal or that she was going to be charged, she wasn't until this point in time. So, yeah, the Boston firms have no issues with this one.
Speaking of immunity, is it possible that the reason she was comfortable hiding out in New Hampshire here in the U.S. is because she just assumes that she's going to get some kind of a deal because she can squawk about everything?
So, I mean, look, we don't know if she committed a crime, so we're going to assume for a moment that she's innocent. Having said that, if you read all the articles out there about this, if you watch the documentaries, it's certainly, you know, one reasonable interpretation of her life is that she, you know, potentially did the things that they're talking about. Now, I'm not saying that she did, but if she did those things with the kind of people that she's talking about, I think it's reasonable to assume that she would have a plethora of really relevant information that the governments, this government and other governments, quite frankly, would want to have access to. It seems like there is quite a network of people that partook in the perversions of the Epstein group. But again, who knows? I would say this, though, Greg, if I were sitting in her shoes and, you know, a couple states away from where you're going to get prosecuted, you know, I'd probably have the same mentality that you just said. You know, that there's probably going to have to be a deal that she makes here because it seems like there's testimony that directly links her to sexual abuse from some of the alleged victims. And, you know, if that's the case, it's a matter of mitigation right now for her. Do you take the chance? Do you roll forward and have a trial with your attorneys? You know, understanding, Greg, she's had 12 months to prepare for this trial. You know, her attorneys have had 12 months to help her prepare for this trial. We don't know where her computers are, where they've been, where any evidence is. 12 months is an awful long time for somebody with unlimited access to wealth to prepare for a case. So I don't think she was running or she seems like she's going to be convicted because she probably has quite a defense already lined up. I'm sure that the evidence that was at her place was gathered first by her attorneys as opposed to the FBI raid yesterday. You know, and then again, I'm sure she's got quite a bit of things that people will be interested in telling. So we'll
and
see. There
are, and a lot of powerful people are probably interested in her not telling those things.
Yes.
I would assume. Yes.
I mean, I think the funniest article I read was the New York Daily News where they said, hey, just in case you're wondering, you should put her in a glass cell and put her in the middle of Times Square.
Yep. Well, yeah.
Yep. 24-hour surveillance.
If you were her
viewable online.
If you were her attorney, would you not advise? I mean, or how do you keep somebody like that safe?
Yeah, seriously.
In prison from the Clintons or anybody else? How do you keep somebody like that safe in prison?
Look at the people that we've seen been murdered in prison the last 12 months. We have Epstein, you know, we have Whitey Bulger, high profile people that don't make it through a day in jail. Jail is a very dangerous place to begin with. And when you're talking about maximum security jails, it's the worst of the worst. Although right now, my understanding is she's not in a maximum security. She's in a mid-level security position in Manchester. And then she'll be coming to New York Thursday or Friday for her arraignment.
However, there was some concern because she was actually going to be, if she comes to New York, she would be put into the same prison where Jeffrey Epstein hanged himself. She would be put into that same prison, which is probably not the best place to put her, I would assume.
Well, in a lot of ways, isn't it really the best place to put her? I mean, you would think that after having what happened with Epstein a year ago happened, that they, you know, they've gotten rid of the bad eggs, the ones that were sleeping on the job and were, you know, maybe paid off. So you would think it might be the best place for her to be. But, you know, again, the question is, if you do what she's done, you have the information that she's alleged to have had and to have, are you safe anywhere?
No.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
I mean, it depends on who you have it on, I guess. But
everyone. I mean, where you, how many people are shaking whose 4th of July weekends were ruined?
Think about this for a second. Why wasn't she killed beforehand? Wouldn't it have been a lot easier to grab a little, you know, former, you know, spy or something?
Deals, Larry. Deals. I mean, there are deals afoot.
You would think to me it would be a lot easier that her brakes went or she, you know, she had a heart attack. I mean, we all watch the same spy movies. If they were going to kill her, you know, why wouldn't they have killed her already would be my question on that.
Yeah, you could say the same thing about Epstein, though,
that's
right?
That's a great point, though. Yeah. I mean, she was, maybe she wasn't hiding from the authorities, from the FBI. She was hiding from the powerful people who she has videos of. Yeah.
Notice she wasn't in Chappaqua. She was in Bradford.
Allegedly has videos of, Greg.
Yeah, allegedly. Yeah, I mean, if you watch that Epstein Filthy Rich documentary on Netflix, he had cameras.
By the way, nauseating.
It's disgusting, but he filmed everywhere, every room of every place that he had.
It's insurance,
as like blackmail insurance. Yes. Well, yeah.
Greg, speaking of people that he had film of, Larry, Alan Dershowitz has already come out and said that Maxwell needs to be presumed innocent and listed on the Spectator website. His defense for her against these charges. When will we actually, if ever, see Dershowitz, who is on film, we believe, allegedly, he's admitted to getting a massage at the Epstein Miami home, or Palm Beach home. What does Dershowitz, do we ever hold him up against justice with this, or is he just going to disappear like the rest of the alleged pals of Epstein?
It's a tough one to answer, you know,
Larry's not going
to answer because we don't know where any of this stuff is, if it really exists. I mean, look, again, think about this, guys. You have 1 year to prepare for your arrest that you have to know is coming. You know, in the Epstein case, I think the difference is the arrogance of Epstein and the friends of Epstein. I don't think he ever thought he was going to get in trouble. And when he did, you know, the first time they swept it, you know, I don't want to say they or whoever they is, but it seems as though he was given a very lenient deal the first time through. Right. So why would a guy like that worry about anything? You have all that money, you have all that access, you have all that power. You know, you're allegedly, you know, running underage children for some of the most wealthy and powerful people in the world. I don't know that Epstein and her situation is the same, but her situation, again, to me, it's been 12 months.
Yeah.
What are they going to find? Unless she wants them to find it.
So you don't think she was worried, really? I mean, theoretically, she thinks she has enough information to cut herself some kind of a deal, and she's not really that worried about it.
I think she probably has enough information, if what they're saying and alleging is true, to negotiate quite a deal for herself, if that's what she wants to do. I also will tell you that, you know, we've talked about this before. You know, it's a federal case, you know, and there's an old expression, you know, the federal case. It's a federal case, and they talk about a federal case because the federal government has basically unlimited resources and stuff like this. So if they're bringing a case on her, I'll tell you, they believe they have every element of all six charges met with direct and circumstantial evidence that will lead to convictions on everything for her. They don't bring people in high-profile cases if they're not 99.9% certain that they're going to win those cases.
Yeah,
their conviction rate is staggering.
And also, I think it's seven charges because she brought fireworks and transported them over the border.
She was the one, huh?
Yeah, that was her.
All right. Well, Larry, interesting. So next up, we'll get her arraignment, which will happen this week in New York or something, correct?
Yeah, it looks like Friday, 7:10:20.
Okay. All right, Larry, the lawyer, thank you.
I appreciate it. Good to have you all back.
All right. And we'll next week, we'll get you on. We'll do Ask an Attorney next week at some point.
That sounds good to me.
All right. Larry, all right, Larry, the lawyer on the legal ramifications for Ghislaine Maxwell.
Did you see how the FBI almost blew their cover when they were going in to take her?
I read that some neighbor was worried about the planes that were flying over and the vans and stuff. And they used an excuse that they were doing maps or something like that. And this guy happened to be a map expert.
He was a cartographer.
Okay, living in the woods of New Hampshire. Yep. So he went over there and complained to them.
Yeah.
And wanted to examine their van.
And they were like,
their surveillance van. And they're like, no. And he said, well, I'm a cartographer. And I know that you're not up here doing maps because I can't see your map tools.
Yes.
You're not making tools.
We're making a new Google map.
I love that the property where she was staying was called Tucked Away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she spent $1 million on it. Okay. So, but Larry's right. She's had 12 months to prepare what her defense is. And
right.
she has all the money in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, she had $20 million in her bank accounts.
Yeah.
$20
million. Mm-hmm.
Greg, was it the same LLC that had the Brady house in Connecticut? Or was it,
it probably was, yeah. Yes. It was actually Echo Dooley's house in Winnipesaukee where she was hanging out. All right. We got to get to Ken and what is trending.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
During Subaru Summer, our retailers are making it easy for you to shop online from wherever you are. Begin at SubaruofNewEngland.com. By the way, Greg, we had Mike Giardi on the show last week. He stands by his report that Brady has the house in Connecticut.
He does?
Yes, he does.
I love it.
You were vindicated.
Yeah. Well, it's just us two on an island, but at some point we will get clarification on that from Tom Brady himself. At some point.
Have you graded the new Cam Newton Instagram video, the workout video? In two parts.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was good.
Aggressive. I mean, he's in there. See, this is what Stidham. Take a lesson. Take a tip from your leader.
The elephant can be doing all he do. The giraffe. The antelope. The chimpanzees. Even the gorilla. But it's one mother in the jungle. When he roars, everything stops.
Whoa.
He's ready to go.
I love it. Fired up. Chip on the shoulder.
Yeah, says he's tired of being humbled, Greg. And also, what do you think about, speaking of social media, because I know you love talking about it on the radio, Cam Newton's constant use of the serial killer font in all of his posts? You like that?
I haven't seen it. I don't know.
It's a thing. He's already said not taking it down.
Okay, he's not taking it down. All right.
Well, some good signs with baseball. First of all, the schedule's going to come out today. Mutt was right on the money, I think he predicted today. 60-game schedule will be out. Thursday, we get a 5-inning sim game over at Fenway. I know you're going to be thrilled about that, Greg. We get to see some ball. Nathan Eovaldi taking the mound.
Greg's throwing the first pitch.
Well, I know the TV guys are not calling the game from Fenway. They're doing it from a studio in Watertown. Is that the same with Joe?
We believe Joe is going to be in the booth at Fenway, we think.
By himself? For all 60. I mean, I hope he's going to be isolated. Well, we're not going to, I mean, Will's not
going to be
bringing.
Have the chairs been secured?
Is Will going to be bringing germs to Joe? I mean,
no, he's going to be bringing Rollatini.
I mean.
Germs your new nickname for Maloney?
I'm concerned about, I mean, Lou. Yeah, what about Lou? Is Lou going to be there with Joe?
CPAP.
Are they going to do the game with a mask on?
All great questions.
No hose.
But I mean,
we'll get those back to you later on, Greg. Appreciate you asking.
But Bradfo, I don't understand. I don't understand why
a lot of great mysteries in this world, Greg.
Why Remy and Eckersley and the, why aren't those guys going to be at the park?
Simple answer: huge pussies.
But if they were in different, they could be in different places. In
taking no prisoners now, Curtis.
No, it's going to be like when they used to do the games on the radio, and the guy couldn't be there, but he'd do the sound effects himself in a studio in the homes. I mean,
good times, the good old days. I talked to Castigs the other day. We were getting ready for a piece we're putting up this week on his preparations for the broadcast. I said, Joe, how do you feel about doing it right there from the ballpark? And he said, come at me, bro. Ain't no COVID going to take down the Stigs.
Okay.
But that is idiotic. What's going to happen to Eck and Dave O'Brien at Fenway Park?
They're going to be in Watertown.
What up?
In a studio?
Yeah.
I mean, at least Joe is going there.
And isn't the window better because you can get fresh air? Don't we all think fresh air is better?
Joe's going to be like, well, Will just coughed on me, so unfortunately I have to leave the ballpark immediately, head over to Beth Israel, get tested. I'll be back by the 9th inning.
But the David Price trade looks awful good, Joe. I'll say that. I mean, $6 million more off the books, and he's not playing this year. So you got Verdugo, you got rid of Mookie for a partial season. Got a couple prospects in there as well. That trade looks better and better.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Sox will not have, early on, they had a couple COVID positives, Darwinson Hernandez and Josh Taylor. A couple for the Yankees, including DJ LeMahieu. There have been a handful across the league so far. But the bigger concern is the Doolittle effect, right?
Yeah.
Sean Doolittle speaking out about masks and everything else. Greg's very concerned about it. Hockey's got a plan, though. Hockey's going to get back. That's the big news. Finalized protocols, and Toronto and Edmonton are the places to go. The Bruins will be headed to Toronto, we believe, July 25th, if that is rubber stamped. It's the Greg Hill Morning Show.
More of the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
If you catch me at the border, I'll go visit them. If you come around, hey, I'll make them all day. I get one down in the second if you wait. I fly like paper, get like planes. If you catch me at the border, I'll go visit them. If you come around, hey, I'll make them all day. I get one down in the second.
Wiggy will be here tomorrow. Was Wiggy the anchor in my absence, or was Mutt handling the anchor duties?
Mutt drove.
Mutt drove.
Well, I don't know if that's the best
actually,
idea.
Mutt was Mutt had the wheel, but it was like that scene in Anchorman 2 when the RV just turned upside down and a scorpion bit Ron Burgundy.
Mutt drove. Cruise control. Mutt drove 0.16% of the time.
Awful.
All right. Well,
Cam Newton carried. Cam Newton was the driver last week, Greg.
Yeah.
That was the. It was a gift. It was the easiest week in the world of radio. Cam Newton signs. Yeah. People called up.
Boom. You're in here honking your way through 4 hours of radio.
Oh,
boom.
Fitzy, boy, I've never seen him as happy as he was last week. Well, look at me. Two particular people.
He already has a Cam Newton shirt on. So yep. I mean, he's already.
Yes,
got
we
the,
do.
Is that the only one you got, or have, have you purchased other items?
No, these were. You think I bought these?
Oh no, those were sent over.
They were gratis.
Complimentary. Yeah,
yes, my favorite gratis.
Anybody else notice the irony that Fitzy was in his safe space when Mutt was driving?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is ironic.
Yeah, we were broadcasting live on WDDH.
WDUI. No. All
right. We got to get to this.
Karen, I was dependent on that.
And now,
Karen?
The Karen Report.
Why did you do that?
Karen.
Why?
All right. I don't know if it was because it was the 4th of July weekend or what's going on, but there are an awful lot of Karens in the news today, so... We thought we would get to some of these incidents and go over what happened. Danielle, where do you want to start?
Let's start in Louisiana. Houma, Louisiana. Karen is drunk and tries to get into a bar, but she can't get in because, you know, she's not wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. So she gets completely outraged, licks the window, and starts trying to ram herself through the door. And in the process, knocks herself the F out.
Okay, so they wouldn't let her in the bar without a mask.
Yep.
Because that's the thing where you have to wear it in, and then you walk over to the,
your spot.
The bar stool, and then you can take it off.
Correct.
But then you have to, okay, all right, so.
They've nicknamed her Zombie Karen.
Zombie Karen.
Because okay. She reportedly resembles the zombie from the Will Smith movie, I Am Legend.
Oh. Right.
Okay, so here's some sound from the incident.
Who missed Sunday dinner? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. God.
Look at her head, already bleeding.
Damn crazy.
Look at the top of her head.
Damn crazy.
Wait, was that Daniel Stern screaming when the spider gets put on him in Home Alone? Are you kidding?
Is that real
like
audio?
That? No. Yeah.
And you wonder why cases are going up, Ken, all around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
It's right. Nuts.
She recovering?
She's recovering. Okay. We don't know if she's going to face any charges in connection with that incident. Right. Now,
she's already bleeding from the top of her damn head.
We have an issue with a Karen who is anti-mask, who was at a Target in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Over the weekend, she tried to rip face masks off a couple mannequins and confronted store employees.
What is wrong? People are on edge. It's lockdown. I mean,
it is.
Yeah.
Now, this is quintessential rich white lady Karen activities going on here. She throws out all kinds of disclaimers when she's arguing with the store employees.
So they had mannequins that had masks on.
Right, like, and they're selling masks
as well.
Kind of
a cutesy
right.
little thing.
Like,
little
hey,
way to, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we have these available right. for sale also. Okay.
And
so
that upset
she was
her.
Incensed.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and goes nuts.
Okay, all right.
Target, I'm not playing any more games. Yay, woo! No, I'm not doing it. We don't want any of this anymore. This is over. No. No. Do you? Why? Why? You let everybody else do it? Can everybody else do it? Why can't I do it? Because I'm a blonde white woman wearing a $40,000 Rolex? I don't have the right
Excuse me?
Wearing a $40,000 Rolex. Mm-hmm. So I'm a white woman right. and I can't do this.
Shopping at Target, by the way.
Right. Well, Target.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, when police came to her house later on, she made this bizarre claim that she was a White House spokesperson.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she videoed this incident
oh,
as well.
She did? Oh, she did?
Oh, yeah.
They drained the swamp. They did everything that Donald Trump was elected to do. You can read about it on Twitter. You can read about it in the news. So I was hired to be the QAnon spokesperson.
She's coming here today?
I cannot. It's a secret. What do you mean? Like, I can't give you any classified information. You don't have clearance.
Okay.
You don't.
You're a spokesperson,
yeah.
correct?
Yeah. For the White House. Yeah.
Okay.
But call Donald Trump and ask him if you don't believe me.
I think we have enough here.
So, man, if you spin around, just put your phone down.
What?
First, okay.
What?
Phone down.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry.
You're doing it to me because I'm Jewish.
So now
it's not
what?
Worth it.
What?
Not, you're the mask lady.
Just seriously.
It's not worth
stop
it.
Stop it with this nonsense. She drops QAnon.
Right.
Get out of here.
Now I know why 40K Rolex was trending yesterday afternoon
now
on Twitter.
Know.
I didn't
now
click because I was like, I'm not taking this bait.
It was actually a photo of Greg from New Hampshire. He wore it in the water.
Not,
it was a problem.
At all. Not at all. Yes. all right. That's the Karen report.
That's
it.
Karen report.
That's it.
Why
on the
Karens? Karen's coming out of red states. I don't know if you noticed.
I did not. I don't pay any attention to that.
Interesting.
I don't make my decisions based on politics, Ken. I just try to enjoy my life, live my life. All right. If you want to be on this morning, the number to call is 617-779-7937, or you can text on the text line, which is 37937, and we will get to the news coming up next. Apparently, there is some concern by teachers about going back to school. So just when you thought you were going to be able to offload the kids come September, it looks like that may not happen. So we'll get to that and the rest of the news coming up next.
It's time for
good news for you this morning.
The news.
In 3, 2, 1.
With your host.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Cannonball!
Because I am good at three things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, specializing in men's sexual health.
Worth it!
On Sports Radio WEEI.
News team, assemble!
Well, the leader of the Massachusetts Teachers Association is blasting Governor Charlie Baker, saying that the guidelines for the return of school classroom attendance in the fall are not good enough.
Oh, they're not?
Not good enough.
I see.
Mary Najimi, who is the president of the MTA, spoke with Channel 5 on Sunday on their show On the Record, and she said that the standards that they're employing now are not strict enough. 3-foot social distancing is going to wind up being a health threat, and it's not going to be good for students. They want new guidelines.
Well, how are you supposed to get kids into school when there are hundreds of them and you don't have unlimited space?
She said that educators want nothing more than to be back in the classroom, but with students, it can't come at the expense of health and safety. She said 6 feet needs to be the absolute minimum when it comes to social distancing in classrooms.
What about the health implications for children not being in school and socializing with others and learning and progressing into adulthood?
And getting out of abusive homes.
Being around mandatory reporters.
Yeah.
You know, when they have stuff like that.
So is your guess that school is going to be back in session in September?
I don't see it happening. First week in July? I don't think they're going to be able to pull that stuff together.
It's not happening.
It's not. No. You. So many of these school districts, they won't be able to pull it off. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, guy. It's not going to happen.
We'll come back for a week after Thanksgiving. Shut it down again. It's not.
Great.
And then you have, there's going to be virtually nobody who is, when it comes to college kids that are on that are on campuses. They're all starting the remote class thing again. And I think
a number of local universities were coming in, though.
Well, they're saying that your student can be there, but it's they have to attend X amount of remote learning classes. They can't gather with, like, in some cases, they're... that you're not allowed to have a roommate or a suite mate at the school.
Do you still get the same price for the room and board?
At UMass, of all places, there's a one-strike policy. If you have a party, you're booted right out of school.
See you later. Dunsky.
That's it.
Wow.
Finished.
No tolerance. Kicked
out of college.
And Wiggy's going to be pissed because he's currently flying right now to go visit the University of Phoenix. So I don't know what's going on.
Flying Southeast Airlines?
But again, there's virtually no risk for children. Am I right about that? I mean, I'm not Dr. Boney, nor am I a Major League Baseball player / health expert, but I feel like there's virtually no risk for kids.
It appears that way. Obviously, the spread is the concern.
Right.
It's just got to be bringing it home asymptomatically to Grammy and Gramps.
Right.
Correct. Yes, that's the concern.
Okay.
Now, the governor did announce the return of sports over the weekend. We talked about the beginning of Phase 3, which does start in the Commonwealth today, with the exception of the city of Boston and the city of Somerville.
Boston needs another week to get ready for Phase 3.
Another week.
And
here's...
pushing it right up to November or so, Ken, is kind of the goal.
Opening up instead of shutting down in your favorite states.
Yeah.
Great job, DeSantis.
Yeah.
This is Governor Baker at his press conference at Fenway Park late last week.
And we also know that while we won't be here in person, we can all root and cheer with appropriate social distancing and masks if you can't stay 6 feet apart, wherever they might be, watching on TV.
Can we get him some, like, uppers or something?
He's very
depressed. He's very depressed.
Oh, he actually,
during that press conference, referred to the draconian measures that we've undergone. So I think he's like, if you can't beat him, join him.
I did like his crown, though. It was very nice.
Everybody's been flocking back to the beaches now that they have reopened, except yesterday they had to shut down Head of the Meadow Beach in Truro.
No.
Because of a shark sighting.
Because of a shark.
Happy shark season, everybody. They reportedly saw a seal jump out of the water, according to the Atlantic Great White Shark Conservancy, and a fin shortly thereafter. So they shut down swimming from 12:05 to 1:05 p.m. And I'm sure this will be the first of many beach closings that we'll see over the next couple of months.
Get out of the water! Take your time. Jesus Christ, you're taking your time.
It's so weird. It's almost like you'd think sharks live in the water and that they're little candy treats, the seals. I mean, they're just, why would humans ever think that there'd be a shark in the water? Jeez Louise.
If there were ever going to be a fight between two elderly men about social distancing in an elevator, you bet your ass this is where it happened.
And now.
It's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of Florida.
Florida? But that's America's way.
Not like the rest of us.
Another day in Florida.
Cocaine, right? I thought that was just for people in Florida.
Head to Miami, kids. Surveillance video shows a 72-year-old man appear to push another elderly man out of an elevator as he was trying to get on. Now that man, 72-year-old Nachum Gross, is charged with battery on a person 65 or older. His attorney says he was simply defending himself, but he was in the elevator with his wife. Elevator opens on the 32nd floor of the building. The other guy tries to come in, and Gross holds up the two fingers, like the hold on a second, and then tries to
because he and his wife were in there.
Right, two-person limit.
Didn't want anybody else in the elevator with him and his wife. Okay.
Now, the 86-year-old guy, Mr. Gerald Steiglitz, tries to get into the elevator, so the other guy pushes him straight out. Huge problem, and here's the victim.
He was aggressive, and he shouldn't have been aggressive. He pushed so hard that he came out of the elevator. I was all black and blue in the backside.
Good Lord.
Why are you playing the Ordway sound?
Can you imagine that we've reached a point in this country where elderly people are fighting each other to keep each other out of elevators because of social distancing?
Unreasonable. First of all, if you were in an elevator, would you let somebody COVID positive in the elevator with you?
COVID positive?
What, does he have a sign? A plaque?
You have to assume he might be.
You have to assume he might be.
We're going to have like the little lit up things like in Logan's Run. Like, are you COVID? Yes, I am positive. Do we have to wear signs, Ken?
What are people?
If he's positive, no chance that you won't get it. I mean, 100%, you're going to get it if he hasn't.
So phase three, which begins today.
Yes.
And that means that theoretically gyms, movie theaters, casinos can open up.
With an S ton of restrictions.
Maybe more people are going back into their office. What is going on at the Hancock or the Prue, or what are they doing in these buildings when it comes to elevators?
It's probably going to wind up being a line. I mean, most of those buildings have pretty sizable elevator banks anyway, but they're probably going to limit it to 2 to 3 people because you can't, I mean, depending on the size of the elevator.
There's thousands of people who work in those buildings.
Oh, well.
So you're going to have like one person per elevator? Mm-hmm. How long is it
going to
take?
They're going to have X's in each corner.
What time do you have to get to work in order to get up to the 40th floor or what have you? Yeah.
5:45.
Okay.
It'd be like in the office when they had to establish a P corner.
And we think that they're actually going to have people at football games this fall.
You're not going to say
that. I hope they are. I hope they are.
People have been doing touristy things now that places are opening back up. Unfortunately, we have one of our first deaths of the tourist season where a woman from Arizona fell 100 feet to her death while taking photos at the Grand Canyon. Fortunately, we do these stories every year. Maria Salgado Lopez was 59 years old. She died Friday near the South Rim Visitors Center. They were able to retrieve her body later that day. She was hiking and taking photos with family members and reportedly
selfies or
kind of group photos. We're not really sure, but she got to. It's, same thing as happens everywhere. They get too close to the edge. They slip on the ledge, and she fell right over. Oh, so boy. Just an absolute nightmare. And then there was a woman who got gored at Yellowstone for trying to take a photo because she got too close to a bison.
Yeah, she got like within 10 feet of the thing to take a selfie.
Now, she has not been publicly identified, but they have said that she's from California. She was at the Bridge Bay campground in Wyoming on Thursday. She saw the bison, tried to get close, didn't go so well for her. We have sound from a couple witnesses.
The lady got way too close. She just kept provoking the bison. She was trying to reach her hand out and pet the thing.
Yeah, I could hear the bison making noises and like blowing steam out. And I mean, it was just an accident waiting to happen at that point.
Yeah. Well, bison doesn't really want you within 10 feet of it, I'm assuming.
No, not even a little bit. No. Now, let's talk about the COVID parties that are happening in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Oh, I didn't hear about this.
It's a big, big problem. Some students who have been diagnosed with COVID-19 have been attending parties in the city and surrounding areas. And the report is that there's a contest to see who can catch COVID first.
What do you get?
I don't know what the prize is, but I guess it's cash. I think everybody can. It's like there's a buy-in. Everybody chips in, then whoever gets it first gets the pot.
So it's like a March Madness pool,
pretty much,
a Masters pool or something.
Super irresponsible. Okay. A lot of people thought it was just a rumor at first, but it turns out that it was actually happening. This is the fire chief who spoke about this recently.
We had seen over the last few weeks parties going on in the county or throughout the city in the county in several locations where students or kids would come in with known positives. We thought that was kind of a rumor at first. We did some additional research. Not only did the doctor's offices help confirm it, but the state confirmed they had also had the same information.
Wow. It's a bold plan by Nick Saban to make sure he gets his entire roster ready for the fall.
And Tuscaloosa City Councilwoman Sonia McKinstry spoke about these COVID parties at that meeting as well.
College kids are having COVID parties where they're getting tickets, they're buying tickets to come to the party. And then they will invite a couple of students that have tested positive for COVID. So if you are the first person that tests positive for COVID, then you win the money.
King Baker quote tweeted a story on the Tuscaloosa parties saying, if this is actually true, I cannot express how incredibly selfish and foolish this is. Jarrett Stidham should start accepting comments.
Yes.
Well, I thought that's how you end up with the, isn't that how you end up with a herd immunity can? You go to a COVID.
Why are we testing these people? I mean, Trump says party. Don't even test. I mean, what's the point? That just creates more positive.
The tests are beautiful. Everyone can have one, Ken, except for you.
What is the likelihood of there being college football, would you guess, at this point?
In January, I'd say pretty good. In the fall, zero.
What is less than zero?
You say less than zero.
Mm-hmm. Aside from a novel by Brett Easton Ellis, it is the chance of college football coming back this fall. Spring, yes. This fall, no chance. If you can't go sit in a college classroom, if you can't walk on campus, if you can't trust your fellow students to not be so dumb as to have wager-filled COVID parties in the heart of College Football USA. Mike Giardi last week told us that the wiser minds and heads behind the NCAA employed this company. They did a study and they figured 3 to 7 college football players would die if they played college football this fall. That was their guess.
Did he say that?
Yes, he did.
Yes, and that's not an acceptable. Zero losses, obviously. I don't even think we need to go and say that, but they figure 3 to 7 people will contract it during the season, and through some comorbidity or rare set of circumstances, they'll die.
That seems reckless, not on your part or even Giardi's part, but the people that would come out with that, how in God's name would you have any clue that 3 to 7 and some scientific calculus would be the people that would die?
Yeah. So there's going to be no college football this fall.
I would bet that there will be no college football.
I don't know. That's a like $7 billion industry.
I say shortened season comes back in the spring. Then, of course, that affects the NFL draft and free agency next year. But for God's sakes, the Stanley Cup's going to be played in October. I mean, that's like having a margarita in January. It's just, it's still fine, but it's not the way life is normally lived. The Stanley Cup at Halloween.
I wonder if
Halloween's canceled.
Like, every conference could just choose on their own, right? Is it like states' rights? So you might have one conference that does it and just plays in some geographic region. Maybe that'll happen. But I bet you the big schools are done. They're not going to travel across the country with all these teams on planes, stay in hotels.
Oh, why don't good. They just why don't they just bring the college football players back? All the other kids, you know, the school part is not that important, but the other kids, they can stay home and remote learn and just bring the college football players so back. Let them have the campus to themselves and let
Trevor
them play.
Lawrence wants to come back, let, that's let fine. Them, the rest of them
let them play football.
Kick rocks.
And Greg, I think it would be only wise, considering Ken's concern, that we delay the election 1 year.
That ain't happening. Is that it, news-wise? A texter is talking about their building reopening in Boston, 508 texter, and they have one of these experts like Ken helping them figure out how to reopen. And they are predicting that it is going to take 4 hours every day for people to get into the office because of the elevator thing and the restrictions and everything.
It's
so
insane.
It's going to take... No. So no. Is that added on to the workday? So you normally work 8 hours,
right.
Are they paying you
no.
to go through the COVID restriction process and to get into the building?
I don't know what the deal is, but it's nuts. If that were the case, if I worked in a building like that, I'd be like, no, I'm gonna. If I've been working from home successfully, I'm not gonna come in and wait 4 hours to have to go through the process of getting up to that 42nd floor. It's not going to happen.
Easiest thing in the world, Danielle, you dump the gym membership, mm-hmm. and then you just get ready to blast your quads
Correct.
And climb 42 floors every morning, bro.
And Greg, if you have an appointment at the Hancock, I would suggest bringing both your breakfast and your lunch while you're waiting to get there.
Is he going
to
have them both on the way up?
Yep.
Are they going to employ, like, office Sherpas to get you up to the 53rd floor? Jeez.
And then, with regard to the school thing,
mm-hmm.
please, it's going to make me too sad.
This is a text from a teacher who says they can't wait to go back. But, I mean, I don't know. How do you think most teachers feel? Do you think most teachers want to go back to school in September? Or do you think that they agree with the union that they shouldn't be going back?
For the teachers that I know, it seems to be like a 50-50 split, unfortunately. There are a few that are psyched and they're like, look, we just want to get back in the classroom. We want to see our students. We want to work with them one-on-one. And there's the other half are like, no, it's not going to work. I'm afraid there's no way they can pull this off, like the head of the MTA said. It seems to be right down the middle.
On a memo I saw over the weekend, it said that we are planning on at least some distanced learning next year. So my guess is this is not going to be an immediate return. They're going to try and stage something.
Why can't they do what the restaurants are doing where they're hanging... like the shower curtains or the in some cases the plexiglass right to so that everybody's covered in their area
right.
Like why can't they do that with every desk or every or the teacher? Couldn't they, if the teacher is the person who's at risk,
mm-hmm.
then couldn't they just put the teacher into some kind of a
hologram?
Like a mm-hmm. hologram or
sure.
some kind of
like a
plexi.
Privacy booth on the old game shows?
Yeah, like the
Today's silence. Lesson will be coming from someone. She's 37, she's locally educated, and she's great with kids. Greg, you have to think, like, a 35-year-old teacher who doesn't have that many concerns, young, married, maybe family of their own, okay, probably be fine. But how about just, like, the teacher that's, like, 58? Like they're on the wrong side of the numbers potentially, mm-hmm. and maybe they're concerned. But this whole idea of Zoom learning to them also must just be like, wait, I have to show up every day on the computer and teach the kids, and I don't necessarily see anything.
Okay, but
physically.
Could they make a provision for those teachers who are concerned, and find a way for them to teach at home, or
I say we just
give them the year off or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what. Like, Dan is a teacher, Dan, are you willing to go back, or what's your deal?
Hi, guys. Yes, I'm willing to go back. You know, one thing that I'm a teacher in Maine, and one thing that they're doing is the Department of Education has sent out a survey for families, teachers, to fill out to see how comfortable they are in going back. What I think should happen is, you know, my class, let's say next year, is a group of 24. Well, if we were to split that 24 up, you get 12 and 12. So the first group could go Monday and Wednesday. The second 12 could go Tuesday and Thursday. Have those days prolonged, and then Friday could be like a makeup day or a workshop day for the teachers.
Yeah.
I think it's unrealistic to think that the kids will be able to keep the 6 feet of distance, never mind a mask on for 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, can you imagine the gardener having a mask on for 8 hours. No. They'd end up, you know, working like slingshots or something.
Well, yeah, but you're talking, I mean, kindergarten, do they still take naps? To me, that was the greatest part about kindergarten was the nap, snack time and the nap time. Like, that should happen in the workplace. Yeah. In between the...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think all the workplaces should have a nap time.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You're going to need it when you have to climb to the 73rd floor of your office building, too.
Where you just fit it in between the 4 hours that it takes you to get in. Uh-huh. Basically, if it takes you 4 hours to get in, it's going to take you 4 hours to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to work at 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by noon, you're up in your office.
Mm-hmm.
Then you turn around at 1, and you head back
out. Go downstairs, and then your soul-crushing commute.
Takes you 4 hours to get out.
Right.
Hey, Ted.
Yeah.
Leonard. Alexandra. Good meeting. All right, got to go.
Love it.
No, you have lunch. When you get there, you have lunch. So once you get up there, it's noon, lunchtime, boom, you're out. Hello, Scott.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's up, Scott?
Okay.
Yeah, I just, I'm listening to you guys, you know, going back and forth and back and forth. I think we should just friggin', you know, start all over next year and just, everybody just, bunker down, you know.
Till when? Stay home till January? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes. Stay home till January, yes.
Okay.
Push the extension for the unemployment, you know.
Yeah.
And hopefully this thing doesn't get out of hand again.
Right. I mean, we got unlimited money. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just printing it.
Sure. Is there a better Boston line than hunker down?
Hunker down.
Yeah, go ahead.
January.
Ken, please tell me you saved that.
Check coming from the government.
Yeah.
We'll just wait until January.
What goes first, every parent's sanity or their beer supply?
Ooh, good
because
question.
Because we're not going to make it either way.
I know we're up against the clock, but Megan is a teacher. Megan, what's up?
Hi. Hey. I'm actually on my way to the first day back at school today. I'm a special ed teacher, and special ed kids get extended year.
Mm.
And we're going in and doing kind of like, I'm going to kind of try to wing it, but we're doing like a live stream plus kids in the classroom too, all separated, wearing masks. I even have a face shield. It kind of feels like the first day, like back at school for the first time.
So, and you feel good about that? Like you want to be back teaching and back at school?
Yeah. I mean, I teach in a high school, so like the kids are older, so like the mask thing's a little bit more manageable, I suppose, but... what teaching remote was insane. Like Google Meets are like insane, seeing the kids' house. Like it's just a lot for a teacher. So
yeah.
I'm ready to go back and, you know, do what we do best. So.
All right. Well, good for you, Megan.
Yeah.
And hope it goes well. Speaking of school and college, coming up in a moment, never mind the Redskins or the Indians, will a local university undergo a mascot name change?
Oh, boy.
We will get to that and other things coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.